Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1450, air date May 31st, 2024.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Iyadure. Today, we're going to be having a very important discussion, as I put out in the title slide of this, which is called Crime and Zionism Pay Big. And we just have to ask Trump. So I'm going to be doing an interview right here, which I need to get in into it. And that's what we're going to be talking about, how crime and Zionism pay big. And Ethan, how are you? Let me go over to Ethan over here. I think I can do it right from here, Trey. Let me see if this works without you.
A couple dollars real quick before you get in.
Okay.
Just five, I swear, and I'll be here. I'm here now. They're rushing in real quick. So just not even probably 5 minutes.
All right, I'll be back. All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, everyone, we're going to be having a conversation with Ethan about this. And many of you know, before I go into Ethan, that recently Trump was, convicted, quote unquote convicted, of a crime. But what's really powerful to understand is that no matter what happens to Donald Trump, he seems to make more and more and more money off these quote unquote convictions. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the theater of these so-called convictions. And what's also interesting to observe is that many of the people who claim that they're anti-Zionists are forcing or conveying to people that they should choose the lesser of two evils, because the court systems are so corrupt and therefore Trump must be better. When the reality is, whether it's Trump, Biden, Booby, all of these guys are all part of the swarm. And what we're actually seeing here is a manipulation of people, because everyone knows that these convictions occur to members of the swarm, be it Trump or Biden or any of these people, but nothing ever happens to them because they'll appeal it and they'll drag it on. And during that period, both sides make a ton of money. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. I'm going to talk about how much money these guys actually make in this process of their theater. And it's very, very important people start understanding this phenomenon that's taking place. And the end goal of all of this is to manipulate you to not build a bottoms-up movement, which is us fighting for our rights, but to have sympathy for these clowns. We're all part of the establishment. And no matter what they do, they make billions of dollars. As many of you know, Sheldon Adelson's wife, one of the multi-billionaires, said she's going to give him more money. And then people who can barely put food on their table are writing checks out to Trump. It's absolutely disgraceful, the level of manipulation that's taking place. And Biden and his crime family organization are also putting out donation emails. See? Okay, set, Ethan? Ethan, how are you? Okay.
There's a like that during the show, and right before you got here there was a bum rush of those, so that's why the short delay there. So I apologize. Now one question to end earlier, by the way, I'm running a Twitter space. If you guys want to call in, we can definitely do that and have you ask questions of the doctor, and that's how you do so. You call into the Twitter space and patch you through and link that chat in a minute. But there was a super chat that came in earlier, and you talked about this during the Twitter space, so you can, like, you don't have to go through the whole story again, but they asked you about the being the inventor of email, so you can just do like a short version of that, because you went through the whole thing last time, so I know they always ask you about that too.
Well, I mean, the short version of this is, short version of this is pretty simple, is that the real question is, a very interesting friend of mine said, who runs one of the large media organizations, he used to run it before he sold it, was a business insider. He goes, the real story about the invention of email is that the facts are black and white. There's not even a gray area that you created it. The issue is, why is there even a controversy? Anyone who looks at the facts, you can go to inventoremail.com, who invented email.com. You'll find the reality is that as a 14-year-old kid, I was a very hardworking kid. I was also a good athlete. I started working as a full-time research fellow at a small medical college in Newark, New Jersey, which is now known as Rutgers Medical School. I had already gone to NYU in a computer science program because I'd finished calculus and everything much earlier in life by ninth grade. So my high school didn't have any math courses. And I was given a full-time job working with people 30, 40, 50 years older than me. And I was treated as an equal. That would only occur in America. And in a medical college, doing medical research, understanding why babies were dying in their sleep, using computers at that time and biology, which was a very new area, mixing computing with biology. I did very well there, published a paper before I even came to MIT. And then I was given another job, 14 years old. Anyone over the age of 40 will remember that the organizations anywhere in the world at that time, and even now, but up until even recent times, and when we didn't have cell phones, you didn't have fax machines, really weren't there yet, but you use something called the inter-office mail system. So in an organization, let's say in a big building with 1,000 offices, every office had a secretary on her. In that office was a very complex communication system, which included a secretary, a desk. On the desk, she had a part called a typewriter. She had another part called an inbox, which is physically a box, another part called a draft, something else called the outbox, big file folders. Underneath her desk was a trash bucket, right? Little box with paper clips in it.
Right.
So I was asked to...
Now, also, let me stop. I just want to stop you for a second because your audio and video quality is dropped a bit. And let you go because you already know your story.
Let me do this.
I don't know if you have another
Let me do this. Is Trey in there? Trey, I'm going to drop off this recording on StreamYard. And then Trey, you're in, right? So you can...
I have to ask to join, so he has to let
me in. Ethan, can you let Trey in? Then I can just drop off.
Just join the...
Click on the link.
Join, Trey. Join the link. I don't see him. He hasn't requested
Trey,
to join
yet. Click on the link to join.
All right, let's do it. All right, I just asked.
Yeah, okay. Now he's in now.
Okay, and then you don't want to... Trey, I think you're going to unpin Trey, right, Ethan?
You know what? You don't want me to show him? Okay, hold on. I'll just black out the screen for a second. And then when you come back in, I'll pin you.
Well, I'm here.
Okay. All right. It seems to be a little bit better now too. Let me see. And then I'll pin you. Pin this time.
Great. Can I get out of? Yeah, there you go.
All right. Okay, now it seems to be a little bit better now, and I have just you pinned on the screen, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So Trey, it looks better StreamYard. Now. Okay, Trey?
Sounds good.
And you'll still stream it out? You got it?
Operations are correct.
Okay. One second, I'm leaving. One second.
Sure. We always have technical.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sharing it right now.
Okay, good. All right. Is that better?
It seems to be a little bit better now. Yeah. I think it's better now. Yeah.
You got it better? Okay.
Well, it's still delayed. Maybe, you know what? Just leave and then come back. Sometimes that fixes it with Google Meets.
Leave.
Yeah, just leave and hop right back in. Okay, now let me see. Okay, now good old
tech issues on the kill stream. Okay, now let me see. All right, now let me try to. Oh, give me a second. Let me pin to the screen for everyone. Yes. Okay. All right, now let me pull you back up. Okay, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Is that better or no?
It's a little bit better. We can hang with it. It's just delayed a little bit, and it might clear up. If you lower your video quality a little bit, I don't know if it's 1080p or what. Sometimes that'll help. I could turn off my camera too. Sometimes that'll help as well.
I mean, I have full bars here.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. But I can hear you fine. It's just a little bit of audio delay, right, between your speech and your audio. It's workable. We can roll with it. It's fine.
Trey, are you seeing that on StreamYard on our end?
No, it looks better now. It actually looks better now. So it's on point now.
A little bit of lag, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We can work through it. Yeah, it's no big deal.
All right.
Oh, so, and it looks a little bit better now too, by the way. So yeah, I'm sorry for, I can't control bandwidth and stuff like that. But yeah, just pick up where you left off in the middle of that.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, this is in 1978. I was 14 years old. And in those days, if you went into an organization like a hospital or the office of the president or any organization, the way people communicated in that organization was they had a hardwired phone, right? And they had this thing called the interoffice mail system. So in every office was a secretary, and she had this very complex system in front of her. It involved a typewriter. She had paper where she would write this thing called a memorandum. She had the inbox, outbox, physical boxes made of wood or steel, something called a drafts box. Behind her were file folders. There were pneumatic tubes that you would put these memos into an envelope. You put them in, they'd shoot them to other offices. You had paper, you had carbon paper, carbon copy. And so the process was quite complicated. A doctor or researcher would come over to the secretary, always a woman, and they would dictate a letter to her. Hey, take a letter to Ethan from Dr. Shiva. Let's carbon copy Trey because we're going to hire some guy called Bob and he's the head of HR, right? She would write this letter out. If there were three carbon copies, she'd have to type the letter, three times, right? Because you the white paper, the carbon paper, and the paper. So it's a very complex system. It's a key thing. We're not talking about simply exchanging text messages from point A to point B, which is what Morse. In fact, at that time in 1977, the military, people like MIT thought, taking this entire complex system and converting it onto the computer in electronic version was seen as impossible. And we have the receipts to show that by a guy called David Crockwright. I like to call him David Crock of shit, because years later, when my stuff went to the Smithsonian, he tried to deny he'd ever written that letter. You see, these old guys with their lab coats at that time in the military were at best trying to exchange simple text messages. I was given the task in that small medical college in Newark, New Jersey, to convert this very complex system of hundreds of parts, inbox, outbox, folders, the address book, departments, and all these things into the electronic form. And that's what I did in 50,000 lines of Fortran code, which also was an impossible problem. We only have 8 kilobytes of memory. And I named that system that I converted email, which was not an obvious term, even though it may seem obvious today. And then won a bunch of the awards called the Westinghouse Science Awards, which are considered the baby nobles, came to MIT. And in the front page of MIT, among the 1,000 students who were entering, I was listed as one of the 3 students who had done something quite extraordinary, in my case, inventing email. The president of MIT in 1981 invited me to his home, and he said, it's too bad the Supreme Court still doesn't understand software patents, but you should copyright it using the 1980 Copyright Act, which I did by myself, and my parents weren't lawyers or I couldn't afford any of that. There was no PDFs. You had to write to the copyright office. You got the forms. You filled it out. You submitted all your code. And this went on August 30th, 1982. I was issued the first U.S. copyright recognizing me as the inventor of email. The problem is, I didn't really talk about this a lot. I was taught to be a good, humble Indian kid. Just work hard. Went in and out of MIT, did a bunch of degrees in system science, 4 degrees, won every major award at MIT, was listed on the front page of MIT for winning many other awards. When my mom was dying 33 years later, 2011, in a suitcase, she had preserved all the code, all that stuff. From then, the editor of Time magazine was the only one who reviewed this material. They wrote an article called "A Man Who Invented Email." People can look at it, November 2011 issue on the front page of the online version of Time and the Technology, Doug Ameth. Then the Smithsonian contacted me. Again, I didn't want any publicity for this. And then it went into the Smithsonian about a month after my mom had died on February 16, 2012. And a Washington Post reporter wrote a great article saying Dr. Shiv Iyer honored as the inventor of email. And by the way, the Time magazine article is called "The Man Who Invented Email." When I was at MIT, I used to be known as Dr. Email for inventing another technology to automatically analyze and route email for project for an award I won for the White House, which I built into a $250 million company. So when it went to the Smithsonian, it should have been an occasion for great, great celebration of the American dream. Instead, a white liberal elite, one of these, you know, liberal guys who talks about diversity at the University of Wisconsin, who thought he was a historian about technology, was flabbergasted that this news went. It was like finding a skull in Africa, which reset the origin of human life. And he called me a fraud, an asshole. He called me a fraud. A Gawker Media wrote 3 articles calling me an asshole and a dick. And then articles were written, this Curry Stained Indian should be beaten and hanged. And I'm like, what the
fuck? Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah. You can find it out there. It's all. And I'm teaching a course at MIT for free, the most popular course. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Calls are coming into MIT saying I should be fired because how dare I say I invented email. And I just put the stuff into the Smithsonian. I was given the award by the Smithsonian. They contacted me. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? All this defamation is going on. And I never, ever sought credit for the invention of email. I never made a penny off of it, even though I am, it's, you know, legal inventor, is recognized by the U.S. government. And it took me years. I said, you know what? It's really important that everyone do know I invented email now, because it wasn't done while I was at MIT. It was done before I came to MIT. Now, you have to understand, while I was at MIT, I was honored for many things I created. The problem is that all those inventions took place under the umbrella of MIT. You follow? But this invention was before I came to MIT by a working class kid in Newark, New Jersey. And by the way, it was a 14-year-old kid who invented TV, Philo Farnsworth. He went through the same bullshit too. In his case, RCA stole his invention, started making TVs. It took him 20 years to fight in the court system. After he won, he lost most of his royalties. And it took him another 60 years to get the recognition. My point is that the invention of email is a powerful story because it shows that innovation can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. You don't need to fucking go to MIT. Now, the problem they had with me was once I figured what they were actually doing to me, I was no longer a good Indian because I said, yeah, I did fucking invent email. I'm going to get the credit for what I did because you try to deny something I actually did. So the real issue is, why is there a fucking controversy? Why is a racist, anti-American Wikipedia locked my page for 2 years when people try to actually update the facts? So, and the reality is this, leads to a larger story, because as long as I was at MIT being the good brown-skinned darky Indian, being their model minority, I was on the front page. But when I say, wait a minute, I invented email before I came to MIT, this is problematic, because MIT, Harvard, all these brands create their brand on the basis that after you go to them, then you can drop out, like Bill Gates, who, by the way, didn't invent DOS, or Mark Zuckerberg, who stole the shit from someone else, and then you're cool. The problem is I did shit before I came to MIT. It took me many years to realize that MIT was the one who benefited from me coming there. You see? Because they take all the smart kids, bring them there, give them the MIT label as though MIT did something for them. So that's the reality of the invention of email. In fact, there's not even a gray area. I'm not saying that someone else would not have invented email, but I was the first to fucking do it, period. And the fact that what bothers people is that this actually took place before I came to MIT. You see, because that shows that there's a lot of smart fucking people out there in the world who do amazing things, and imagine how much innovation that does not get out of there because of this repression. The problem they have with me is I did the invention of email, a great invention before I came to MIT, and I've invented many things after. So I have a very unique perspective on where innovation comes from. So that's the facts.
Well, very cool. And thank you for telling that story. And we've had you on, we talked about it a little bit before, but just for those who didn't know, and also the super chat was sent in before you got here. So I went ahead and asked it again because it paid me money to ask it again. But let me ask you this. There's a couple other super chat questions that I'll go through in just a second. But
one of the things, Ethan, that I thought would be really good to talk about, given what just happened with Trump's conviction.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you. That was exactly what I was going to ask you. And also, there's a super chat. Hold on one sec. I tried to stop the sound, but I'll just let that play over. I tried to turn the sound on those off. I don't know why it didn't work. But I was going to ask you, did sucking Zionist cock work out very well for Trump yesterday? That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, it worked really well for him, if you think about it, yeah. Right? So if you notice people like Ryan Dawson, who, you know, and all these people, you know, who claim that they're anti-Zionist, right? We're all promoting Trump yesterday. Okay. Oh my God, poor fucking Trump. He got fucked over by the judicial system. This is what happens when people don't really study political theory. And I got to talk to Ryan why he's doing this nonsense. Okay. Here's the bottom line. A lot of people in this country, after for 40 years, I've been exposing Zionism for what it is. Zionism is anti-American. Being anti-Zionism does not mean you're anti-Semitic. Very, very important to understand this. For years, the Zionists have conflated both. Okay. Now, after October 7th, I did a bunch of videos on this and they went viral all over the world. I did another interview where I said, I'm the only presidential candidate who's not a Zionist cocksucker. Okay. Trump is a Zionist cocksucker. Booby fucking Kennedy has been sucking Zionist cock a long time. He's just that's where he got his throat problems, right? And Biden dementia comes from sucking a lot of Zionist cock, a lot of shit in his brain. Okay? So you got to understand, these people are all Zionist cocksuckers. 99% of the Congress is Zionist cocksuckers. Then you have people like Thomas Massie, who acts like he's not a Zionist cocksucker, but then starts saying, oh my God, poor Trump got fucked over by the judiciary. Let's just step back. And let's set the record straight. Trump sucks Zionist cock. He brought Zionism into the White House. Jared Kushner made billions off of being Trump's, you know, actual front man, right? Or actual guy who did backstage man. All right?
Yeah, right. It's gray eminence, basically. Yeah.
Right. We have to understand that Trump is not a businessman. He's a fake businessman. All right. You look at his entire business history. The guy's a fucking moron. If you had as much real estate, if your father had given you as much real estate, you'd have 10 times more money just by not doing anything. Okay. Just if you understand real estate. Well, Trump fucked up most of his investments. He fucking went and invested. He was bankrupt not once, but multiple times. The second time or third time he got bankrupt, who saved him? Do you know who saved him, Ethan?
I think it was Deutsche Bank, but I can't remember.
Deutsche Bank once, but it was Wilbur
Ross. And Wilbur Ross, too, yeah. Yeah, right. Deutsche Bank was in there somewhere, though, too.
Yeah, yeah, Wilbur Ross was the head of the debt equity group of all of, the debt financing group for all of Rothschild. Look it up. The Rothschild family's debt financing group. And you have to understand, Trump had taken 14% loans. Who the fuck does that? In Atlantic City. And so when he went bankrupt, the Rothschilds, a la through Wilbur Ross, didn't just bankrupt him. They not only saved him, but they still let him own 50% of everything, which is unheard of. But in Trump, they realized they had a great con man, a WWE person. Remember, Trump did all that WWE stuff, right?
Yeah, I saw it when it happened. I was a wrestling fan, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, yeah. But think about him, with Vince McMahon and him, which is all bullshit, WWE. And the reality is that they saw in Trump a guy that they could use as their puppet, and he owed them. So they put him on the trajectory to become president. You don't just become president of the United States unless a swarm wants you, okay? They got him book deals. They hooked him up with Ari Emanuel, right? The biggest agent in Hollywood who owns Endeavor, who's friends with another Zionist cocksucker, Elon Musk, and he was also the agent of Joe Rogan.
Entourage, the character from there, based on
exactly. Yeah, and Trump became, Ari Emanuel becomes his agent. You get multiple book deals. He gets The Apprentice. They put him on the trajectory to become president. So we have to understand Trump is a willing actor. In fact, he wanted to be an actor, but didn't want to do, was too lazy to go through acting school. All right. So Obama was another agent of the swarm. He was put in and he executed flawlessly for them. He made sure that Goldman Sachs and all the big banks were saved. He printed $8 trillion. And 57% of, by the way, Trumpers voted for Obama. The white working class, who's one of the most, who got totally raked in all of this, were moving away from Obama. They needed the great white hope. So they brought in Trump. And if you believe elections are selections, which I know they are, having exposed all of this in 2020, Trump was a selection. And even Hillary Clinton says her election was stolen from her, but you know, she probably got a backroom deal to sit quiet. But Trump was selected. If you believe elections are selections, don't think Trump was just, Trump mysteriously won. They needed him. Big Pharma needed him. They needed Operation Warp Speed. They needed the swamp, and he did everything. And he was the one who moved the embassy to Jerusalem, right? He did everything.
Yes, he is. And he recognized the Golan Heights as well for
everything.
That Israel. Yes, yes.
Yep. He executed flawlessly for Netanyahu. In fact, embedded within the hoax of the Russian hoax was the fact that it was really Netanyahu put Trump into power. All of this is very well documented in the warrant that came out through a FOIA by James Dorfman, which everyone should read. All right. The bottom line is Trump is the swarm, part of the swarm. So all of this, if you step back, is theater. It's all Hollywood and politics is fully merged. And Trump is one of their theater actors. Booby Kennedy's their theater actor. So is Biden. So is Hillary. So is Tulsi Gabbard. All of these people suck Zionist cock. That's what's common among all of them. And you must be a good Zionist cocksucker to be part of this theater. And they bring in and out actors. They create the underdogs, and they create the protagonists, and the entire MAGA movement is basically a full-blown fuckery, a Zionist cocksuckery of the American white working class. Because the American white working class is the most powerful working class, or was the most powerful working class on the planet. They're the ones who built the bottoms-up movements of the 1800s and 1900s, which scared the shit out of the elites. And that's when America became great, by these mass bottoms-up militant movements, which is how we got the 8-hour workday, how we got rid of child, you know, labor, how we built highways and roads. But after 1970, Democrats and Republicans got together and they destroyed those movements. And we can talk more about that. And they started creating fake heroes because they knew they would be bottoms-up movements and leaders like myself who would support those movements. So in response to that, they had to create a farm league of Zionist cocksuckers to serve them. Trump being one of them, Tulsi Gabbard being one of them, Bernie Sanders being one of them, on the left and the right. You see, they create these fake anti-establishment people. So look at Trump's history. Well, it's really amazing. So-called Christians who claim they're for God and for the clean way of living, they've been bamboozled by Trump, right? They've been bamboozled by Zionism. Well, he did go fucking bang a bunch of these women, okay? And he did give hush money. And as I put in my post, I said, crime and Zionism pay big. Just ask Donald Trump. It's not like he just went out a couple of minutes, you know? the jury did deliver.
But is that really a crime, though, what he did, though, honestly? I mean, he paid some whore.
Of course.
He paid some whore some money to keep her mouth shut.
Yeah, but, and you know.
It really was a legal expense, honestly, in my opinion. But
yeah,
anyway,
but,
go ahead.
You know, it did come out of campaign files. Okay, if you, let me tell you this.
Well, that's
well, let me tell you this. If you or I did it, we'd be in fucking jail. All right? Let's be honest. If any one of us did it, we'd be fucked. The bottom line is crime pays big. Because, you see, he's never going to spend one iota second in jail. They'll appeal it. This will go on. So the swarm, if you think about it as the elites, as a swarm, they think they never attack their own. You see, because they all have shit on each other. You got to really, really get this. I've been among these people. I've been given many opportunities to be co-opted by them. I know them at a very fundamental level. They never fuck each other over. To you, they present the theater, but they never screw each other over. You know, Trump gets out of that courtroom and goes, oh, yeah, this Soros-funded DA. Well, Soros funded him $150 million to build his tower in Chicago. Come on. Who the fuck are you fooling? So the conviction immediately led to Sheldon Adelson's wife agreeing to give him what? More money, right? Hundreds of millions of dollars. You know that, right, Ralph?
Ethan. Yeah, I did see that. And yeah, I did see that. And you can call me Ralph. That's fine. A lot of people do.
Sorry, but $100 million commitment. People just giving him money. And who's giving him money? The white working class who's got only $400 in their bank account for a rainy day. Trump's not going
to... He got a bunch of money from them too, but then Adelson's wife made a big promise too as well.
Right. So all these so-called grifters, oh my God, Trump's a Zionist, overnight, well, we got to choose the lesser of two evils. This is how they fuck people over. The lesser of two evils argument. And so the right does it and the left does it, right? Oh my God, Bernie Sanders suckered all these college students, and 6 months before the election, after the Democratic convention, he goes, well, we must give the votes to Hillary, lesser of two evils, right? So the lesser of two evils is a recurrent way that you fuck over the working class of this country. And that's the role of Trump. That's the role of Booby Kennedy. That's the role of Biden. And they have their apologists. So all these so-called anti-Zionists are now apologizing for, are willing to forego Trump is a rabid Zionist. You see? That's why I say
crime. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't deny that. Yeah, go ahead.
Finish. So the reality is we have to build a movement because people don't want to get off their ass like we do every day. We're actually running for president. You have to get on the ballot in every state. Well, how do you do that? Ethan, you have to go collect signatures. In the honest way, Booby Kennedy doesn't collect signatures. He takes Zionist money and goes hire signature vendors, which should be illegal. Our movement actually has hardworking people, plumbers, electricians who have full-time jobs, mothers, IT workers who do their jobs. Then they go in front of grocery stores and they're collecting signatures. I'll be going out there later today. They don't fucking do that, man. These people are all fucking crooks. Our movement says, get off your butt and help build a movement. Why the fuck do you want to suck the cock of Zionist cocksuckers? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to apologize? Why are you feeling fucking sorry for Trump? Why? I've met with Trump multiple times. He used all of my material to raise $500 million for Save America with election fraud. And then he supported the guy who defrauded my campaign. Then Trump invited me to Mar-a-Lago. I respectfully refused. Most people would have said, oh my God, Trump's inviting me to Mar-a-Lago. Let me go suck his Zionist cock. I didn't. I refused. Then he invited me again. When I went there, I said, what the fuck happened to that $500 million you raised? Why didn't you support really an election Systems Integrity Institute? He doesn't want to give one penny away. He's controlled by the swarm. The American working class, particularly the white working class, needs to wake the fuck up. They've been used and abused since the 1970s, over and over and over and over again. The left and the right, the left and the right. And it's time to stop this nonsense. No one should be giving one penny to fucking Trump. Nothing is going to happen to him. He had videos, everything ready to go. Boom. And Laura Trump selling the Trump black card. Have you seen that? Get the black card. You get special features. What, 30% off banging Stormy Daniels? Is that what the Trump card gets you? You have to understand, these people are not one of us. They don't fucking work. I have
they're not like us.
Friends of mine who work for a living. I work for a living. I'm one of us. They're not. They're not one of us. And you have no idea of the lifestyles they live. I've been among them. So we need to understand crime and Zionism pay really big. Just ask Donald Trump. He'll tell you. Zionism pays big for him. When people went in and started attacking Gaza, he was all for it. Same with Tulsi Gabbard, by the way. Another fucking whore, okay? These people are all whores to Zionism. That's what they are. And you can't say you're America first and say, oh my God, I wish Trump wouldn't be a Zionist. No, he's a fucking Zionist, end to end. That's how he's made every penny. So why are people, and the reason people know everything I'm saying is true, but where it leads to is you have to get off your ass now and we have to build a movement. And but the swarm has brainwashed people consistently not to work anymore, to watch TV, to be a WWE entertainment. You see what I'm saying? They do not want people to build a movement like what our forefathers did in the 1800s and 1900s. If you have anything really profound in this country, it came from the bottoms-up movements of the late 1800s and 1900s. Four American workers were hanged in the United States by the government of the United States for fighting for the eight-hour workday. Seven American workers were shot fighting for the eight-hour workday in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Workers all over the world commemorated them, and they called it May Day. We called it Law Day. We said it was a quote-unquote a communist holiday. Bullshit. You see, everything is being done to make sure we do not build a bottoms-up movement. That's what this is about, Ethan. So we don't remember the history of the American working class in this country. So all these fools are brought in to manipulate people. Anyone promoting Trump, anyone promoting Biden, anyone promoting Booby, anyone thinking Elon Musk is some genius, or Joe Rogan or Fucker Carlson are fighting for us, needs to have their head checked.
Now, this guy in chat, now I have a question that was sent in a super chat, $10 about email, and I will ask that, but we're on the election stuff now. And
well, you can go to the email. Let's go to that. Go ahead.
Okay, if you want me to. All right, let me see here. Let me refresh this here, and then I'll ask you that. I'll just take a second to refresh and bring up. Sorry for the delay here. And also, I turned off my camera because we were having some issues, and sometimes that helps with the lag. So
okay, I hope that's okay.
It's fine now. It's fine now.
Trey, is everything good on our end?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, Ethan.
It's good now. It's good now. But that's the only reason I turned off my camera, because that helps sometimes. Wagner in chat said, "No offense, but a little sus. Why didn't your guest petition the university's tech transfer office to get patent application in for his previous or independent work?" Is what they said about the email thing.
Well, you couldn't. Well, in 1981, you couldn't get software patents. Okay, that's a problem. Remember, I was. So it's a very good question. So, what was software? And listen very carefully. 1970. Remember, I was a 14-year-old kid at the time. Okay. You have to understand that the concept of software, people thought software was written work. If you were writing software, no one saw anything, right? Like a machine like this, you see it physically. So the Supreme Court didn't recognize software patents. But in 1980, the Copyright Office passed the 1980 Computer Act of 1980, and you can look it up, which said you will use Copyright Act to protect software inventions. The problem is when you have dumb fucks in Congress, Congress is the ones that make laws, right? They didn't know what software was. It wasn't until 1994, the Federal Court of Appeals finally said we must treat software as a digital machine. And then you could start patenting software. So by the way, in 1994, 1995, 1996, I got the three earliest AI patents for automatically analyzing email. So I learned how to patent software, but you weren't allowed to patent software until 1994, okay? In a very rare case, unless the software ran a machine, like a controller, you see? So that's the reason. So that's why Dr. Paul Gray, who was the president of MIT, when I was student body president in 81, when I went to his home, and he had heard that I'd invented email, He said he was science advisor to Reagan, and he said, you know, it's really sucks that the Supreme Court doesn't recognize software patents, but you should use a Copyright Act of 1980. So those are the realities. There's nothing suspect here. Remember, I was 17 years old. Also, the fact that I figured out how to do that, I wonder what most 17-year-olds were doing then.
Well, I won't get into what I was doing when I was 17, but it wasn't that.
But I just want to,
yeah.
You're talking about a teenage kid who did all this by himself, and you have to put this into your context, okay? And the fact that the government didn't even know what software was until 1994, when the Federal Court of Appeals said you could use patents for software. Had I been able to patent software, you know, no one would be, you know, people would be bowing down and sucking my cock off because they'd say, wow, you have a gazillions of dollars. The point is copyright law does not protect concepts, you see? But this is what happens when you have non-engineers in Congress, you see? Because they don't understand.
Congress is filled with a bunch of morons. They don't understand the internet either.
Exactly.
So that's not a surprise to me. They don't understand most things. The people actually
who tell them what to do, who make their policies, are lobbyists who are backed by Zionism. You see?
They get handed a white paper and told what to say.
Exactly, man.
They're idiots. Yes, yep. That's how Congress works.
But yeah, I think people really need to understand, Ethan, this context. You know, there's a video that you may want to share with your audience called Shatter the Swarm. You know, it's a 15-minute video I did with a whiteboard and pen combining engineering system science to really talking about who is, how the 0.001% control 8 billion of us. How is it a small set of people are controlling 8 billion people? Got to ask that question. When what they do doesn't match the interests of 8 billion. And what you find out is they're using the science of system science. It's a very powerful science. George Soros, by the way, is one of the leading theoreticians in it. Henry Kissinger used to teach this. All the major leaders of the world understand system science, and they teach it to their underlings. Now, I used to teach it at MIT. I took it out of MIT in our movement, Truth, Freedom, Health. You know, Trey will put that up on there on truthfreedomhealth.com. You can find out that we've created an entire framework because we want to fundamentally build a movement that shatters what I call the swarm. So the goal is we educate people on the system dynamics, the same system dynamics they learn. Then we get people on the ground, handing out flyers, connecting with people. My run for president is mobilizing a couple hundred thousand people. We're building leaders bottoms up. They don't do that, man. The campaign that they run, raise money, give it to their friends and family, their consultants. And then come Labor Day, all they'll do is pummel everyone with ads, Ethan. That's it. We're actually running a bottoms up campaign. We actually go out, talk to people, hand them flyers, meet with them. That's a real campaign. And that's what the framers wanted, a real bottoms up movement. But we don't have that anymore.
Now, what about your ballot access? And of course, we talked about this a little bit last time. You know, constitutionally, there's some questions. Some people have some questions about whether you could be president or not, foreign born and stuff. We talked about that a little bit last time. But you could go through that a little bit too if you want. But do you have ballot access?
So remember, every state, the deadlines are different. All right.
Yes.
In each state, we have to go collect signatures and get on the ballot, right? And every state has different points on it. Now, Idaho was one of the first states, I think the first state that you could get ballot access. In the rain and the snow and the wind in February, we got all the signatures to get ballot access. I don't know if you know about this. It should be reported in front page of every New York Times. We were the first ones on the ballot there. Interesting enough, Kennedy couldn't even get 1,000 signatures, Ethan. He went backroom deals with the Secretary of State and told them to give extensions. Didn't tell anyone else. And so I'll read you an email that my running mate, Crystal Ellis, just sent to them, because why is it that they're not announcing that we're on the ballot? And she wrote to the Secretary of State. She goes, "Thank you for returning my call today, confirming," this was yesterday, "Shiva for president is on the ballot in Idaho. Thank you also for clarifying that Booby Kennedy, that's what we call him, okay, has yet to submit even one signature to get on the ballot in Idaho. And any statements alleging Kennedy has collected the necessary signatures to get on the ballot are patently false. Given Schieffer for president fulfilled and exceeded the number of signatures required for ballot access in Idaho, confirmed and verified by your office on March 11th, while Kennedy got an extension, unable to meet the March 15th deadline to September 1st, since he was unable to collect the 1,000 verified signatures, I appreciate your following up to ensure the public is made aware of these facts. Given we were the first candidates to fulfill the requirements to get on the ballot in Idaho, working hard in the middle of winter in the rain and snow, and given the competitive nature of a presidential race, it is only fair and ethical that the public knows that we are on the ballot and Kennedy is not, particularly given he and his campaign are intentionally posting such bold-faced lies on Wikipedia. They're putting bold-faced lies like this. It's hard to see. You can't see it here. But Kennedy got signatures to get on the ballot. The guy's a motherfucking liar. He's not on the ballot. In Utah, we got all the signatures, okay? And in every state, we have volunteers to get signatures on the ballot. You will see in front of grocery stores, our volunteers. You won't see them, man. They take money, and I'm convinced they have a boiler room where they write people's signatures. And if you remember Vivek the Snake, they found a bunch of his signatures with dead people. Do you remember that?
Look it up.
Type in. And then he blamed his signature vendors. You see, they always have this indemnity. These motherfuckers do not work. They don't run real campaigns. In Massachusetts, when I ran for office, we had 3,000 volunteers, 25,000 lawn signs. And we won that election. And when they saw us coming bottoms up, playing fairly and winning, what did they do? They flipped the election machines to cheat and the elections. And I was the first one who uncovered this. In 2020, you can see all the videos we did on Michigan, Arizona, which Trump used to go raise money. So I was in the heat of all that in 2020. I can tell you stories upon stories how Mark Meadows called us, Rona McDaniel, Eric Trump reaching out to us, all this stuff. People are being bamboozled and screwed in many ways. And people need to wake the fuck up. Trump is not your savior. He is an agent of the swarm. They create underdogs. You see, Ethan, in the history of the hero's journey, the work of Joseph Campbell, right? They know deep in every human psyche is a love for the underdog. You follow what I'm saying? Go watch those. You said you watched WWE. Remember WWE, right? They have the guy being pummeled and he's on the ground. And he looks like he's dead. And suddenly he comes out of, right? Well, they know that Americans love an underdog. Well, I'm the real fucking underdog who came from nothing and did create email and many things. They don't want that out there because they know the power of that story, the truth about that. How many times did people ask, hey, did Bill Gates invent DOS? What the fuck? I mean, if I was white, blonde haired, blue eyed, and my last name was Reinstein, I'd be on a fucking stamp. Is that what's needed when the facts are fucking black and white? I mean, the guy that was my mentor still at UMDNJ, Dr. Michaels, will tell you these facts are black and white. There's not even a gray fucking area. There's a lot of gray areas in Mark Zuckerberg inventing Facebook. Where's all the fucking questions to him? Where's all the fucking questions to Bill fucking Gates, who basically stole DOS from another kid, paid him 10 grand, and his mama and papa helped him promote it. I actually did invent email. And you fucking put me through questions when all the facts are there, all the code, the receipts, the copyright notice. What the fuck's your problem? Would you do this if I was white and my last name was whatever, Steinberg? Would you? I don't think.
Now, is that a white name or is that a Jewish name?
You tell me.
Well, it sounds Jewish.
Okay, you fucking tell me. Because you know why? I went to the last 3 years a very Zionist Jewish high school. I won every fucking award. And I remember one day I had won this, I got 800 on my SATs and I was, center half of my soccer, which was, the biggest division and we were 13-0. So I wasn't just a fucking, little nerd with fucking glasses and acting like, a dweeb, okay? So in this all Jewish high school, which was everyone would go to Israel and come back wanting to kill every fucking Muslim after that. It was crazy watching these kids. Okay. Well, I won every fucking award. This was a serious problem because I'm not a chosen person. And what's fascinating to watch is one time at one of the graduations, I had won an award, got a standing ovation. My mom was deathly ill in a hospital, and I wasn't really concerned about this award I'd won. A Jewish mother comes running to me and my father, who's also very distraught, and says to us, you know, your son has done nothing big. My son could have won that award had he decided to work that year. This is the kind of shit I've had to put up with. It's fucked up.
Wow.
So, you know, I was, you know, when I ran against Elizabeth Warren, I got all the signatures and was an independent candidate, and the Democrats and Republicans colluded to keep me off the debate stage. You see, they don't want real competition. They don't really want great people competing with them. And I've had to deal with this all my life. I mean, the facts of my inventing email are black and fucking white. Why the fuck do you ask if I invented email? Why don't you ask if Thomas Edison created the light bulb? Why don't you ask if Elon Musk has created anything? What the fuck has he created? Every fucking thing he's done is, you know, if it wasn't for Peter Thiel and the Swarm who saved him, he's an agent of the government. Where government begins and Elon Musk ends, nobody fucking knows. He rewrote the documents to say he was a founder of Tesla. Come on. SpaceX, $7 billion from the government. He doesn't know how to build rockets. It's all bullshit. You're looking at a real inventor right in front of you. The real underdog. And that scares them, Ethan. So they have to create fake underdogs. Booby fucking Kennedy. Ooh, poor guy. His father was shot by the Swarm. But he banged a lot of women and got his wife hung. And then after his wife got hanged, you know, got PR companies to act like he cared about her, swooning over her coffin. Next day he dug up her coffin and moved it to an unmarked grave. That's the kind of guy he is. Tells people not to take the vaccine, but in his own home, people have got to take the vaccine. Okay? And we can go on with Trump. Ooh, he's so loyal to his wife. Really? Really? Come on. Him and Melania have a marriage? Come on. It's a business arrangement. Everyone knows it. So we got to get our heads out of our ass and figure out who's a real person, who's one of us, and it is us versus them. It's the 8 billion of us versus them.
Now, do you delineate between white and Jewish, though, right? Like, I guess some of the chat were...
Well, like, look, you have to delineate between Zionism and Judaism. And you don't have to be... They're Indian Brahmins who are Zionists, right? They're Muslims.
Sure. Yeah. You don't have to be Jewish to be Zionist. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. If you talk about the Palestinian people, the reason they're in suffering is because of all the Zionist Muslims. Think about it. Zionism is a philosophy, a political ideology justifying how 0.001% should rule over the rest of us. So is Brahmanism. They took Hinduism and they layered in all this cash shit. So is Nazism. Zionism needs Nazism, needs Brahmanism. They're all united. Look, when I grew up in New Jersey, when I first moved there, you know, Patterson and Clifton, my teachers were working class Jews, guys who were on, you know, sailors, very different than the bougie Jews. And we have to talk about these class differences. Even in Germany, you had the bougie Jews who were collaborators with Zionists. And you had working class Jews who were major trade union leaders who were fighting for the workers of Germany to obliterate what Hitler was doing. And it was U.S. and German imperialism which defended Hitler, which funded him, funded Zionism, and butchered Jews, working class Jews. So we have to make a class distinction. You see, they don't want to talk about class struggle. They want the American people never to talk about working people uniting and class struggle. Ooh, you're a communist if you talk like that. You see what I'm saying? That's what this is all about. They do not want working people uniting and fighting for their interests. And so that's what's happened in this country. Democrat and Republican, left and right, have united to make sure we don't build bottoms-up movements. And so in that extent, the wealthy Jews, 99% of them are Zionists, okay? and Nazism are in a very cozy relationship. They need each other. They need anti-Semitism. So that's why they let this idiot Nick Fuentes back on, because he's fucking anti-Jewish and he is a Hitler lover. And they need him because he comes on and Shumley, you know that guy, right? Rabbi Shumley.
Shmuley.
So he, so it's
unholy Shmuley. Yeah, I know.
You see what I'm saying? So Zionism, even during the time of Hitler, loved anti-Semitism. Just like Indian Brahmins love Islamic fundamentalism, because they could say, see, the Islamic people hate the Hindus. That's what this is all about. They want to fuel all of us so the working people do not unite for our interests. And they got us all fighting, and then they make fake fighters like fucking Trump. Come on.
Now what are your thoughts on Biden?
Fucking moron. I mean, he's a Zionist hoodlum too. You see, what they do is they create, it's all theater, man. Go read all the great plays of Shakespeare, protagonist, antagonist. You see? They create the theater. I mean, you watch WWE. That's what this is.
The face and the heel.
All the baby money, face, man.
Yeah.
They have an agreement. Okay, Biden gets to run. Okay, the Biden crime family gets the money this time. Then we put the Trump crime family in. Okay, we may think about the Obama crime family. Remember, Washington is run by families, and they have these ups and downs of families. The Bush family ran it for a while. The the Romney family got to run it a little bit while, right? The Obama family, it's families. It's organized criminals. And one organized crime guy is fighting against another one. Why the fuck do we care? Why should we care if John Kennedy got knocked out? Who the fuck cares? They make us care for them. He's one wing of the organized crime family getting shot by another wing. And then they do Camelot movies and all this stuff. You see what I'm saying? It's all bullshit.
Yes.
We should care about us. But they got us caring about them.
Yeah, it's
entertainment, celebrity Hollywood model of total brain fucking. And so if you look even at the last 6 months, you have to really wonder why were there so many pictures of Gaza babies, this fucking doofus Jackson Hinkle and his other guy sharing picture after picture after picture. How are they getting those pictures out there? And what is the purpose of them? I'll tell you why, to desensitize us to when they do a really major war. Why are you showing college kids? You know, some of those movements were organic, and then these kids are being attacked by rubber bullets. You didn't show pictures like that. The government has had a policy after Vietnam never to show these pictures. They release these pictures because they want to desensitize us and make sure when the real, let's say, a likely World War III takes place, we don't build real anti-war movements. That's what the last 6 months was about. It was a massive psyop. Desensitize. I mean, look, the Middle East, Mossad, all these guys can shut off all those phones there. Why didn't they shut them off, Ethan? Why are you letting all these pictures come out? Why? And how are these people getting access to those photos?
I mean, that's...
And what is the purpose?
Huh? A fair question, I guess. Yeah, I've not thought about that, actually.
Well, go look at Iraq War, Afghanistan War. Where are all the photos? Where are all the atrocities on the ground? Even Ukraine. Have you seen any pictures? Very little.
Not as much as from Gaza, for sure, yeah.
Exactly. And you just saw 24 hours ago, Mossad overnight shut down the internet there, right? So they have that capability. It's one phone call to one of the top four telcos, and it's done. All the IP addresses get done. How are we getting all these pictures? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's called learned helplessness, a CIA behavioral psychology technique. You show people over and over and over again the fact that they could be, you know, well, okay, they go in and kill these children. Now they're going to do this. Now they're going to do this. It retunes a brain. You can't do anything about it. Because they know a major war is going to happen, and they need to make sure the American working class, students and workers, do not build bottoms-up movements. Oh, wow, if I protest, they're going to shoot rubber guns at me. And they showed that. They haven't shown that since Kent State, man, since 1968. You follow what I'm saying? This is all deliberate.
I'm following.
And remember, Mossad's slogan, Yeah.
Mossad's arresting slogan. Yeah. I can smell what you're cooking. He's the rock slogan.
Mossad's slogan is thou shalt do war through deception. Right?
Yeah, that is their slogan.
So we have to really recognize that the American working people have the First Amendment, Second Amendment, all these things. And by the way, it was Trump on November 16, 2018, who destroyed the First Amendment when he signed into law the creation of CISA, which created all the backdoor portals into Twitter, as my lawsuit first exposed in 2020. And think about it, all the shit that Trump did, and it was he fucked over the white working class in this country. Make America great. No, it was actually make America great for the swarm and himself. Operation Warp Speed. They saved Big Pharma, which was tanking with the vaccine mandates. If Hillary Clinton had done what Trump did, there would have been a fucking revolution. They needed this white dude to do it to fuck over the white working class. And that was his job. If Obama did it, there would have been a revolution.
Now, let me ask you, first off, how can people support your campaign if they so choose, if they want to? And, you know, how are you going to get on these ballots? Because, I mean, you have to get on the ballots for people to be able to vote for you.
To get on every ballot, we're collecting signatures a good old honest way. So we are getting on ballots. We will. And even to get on a ballot and a presidential write-in, we have to still do that. So some of them we may be write-in. Some of them we may be not write-in. But the way people can help us is go to Shiva4president.com and fucking volunteer. Notice, Ralph, I haven't talked one time about give me money, right? That's what they do.
Yeah, and somebody in chat asked, how could they donate even? But you haven't said anything about that, yeah.
But well, to me, labor is more powerful than capital, okay? Labor is more powerful. Your work, your volunteering. If you have a lot of money and you want to donate $1, $5, $10, go to Shiva for President, donate. But what I've done, Ralph, is when people donate us money, I give them books, I give them content. We educate them on that same stuff I used to teach at MIT. We give them all those things because I'm of the opinion, for whatever reason, I can't take something for nothing, you know? So people give us money, we donate them books and content and courses. So they really, really raise their consciousness. But they can do that at ShivaForPresident.com. One of the simplest things they can do, Ralph, is they can get a bumper sticker, which says Dr. Shiva for President. When you put that on the back windshield of your car, 100,000 people see it per day. If you go to ShivaForPresident.com and you hit the free download section, there's a flyer which says the lesser of two evils is killing our children. It gives a graph showing how since 1980, the life expectancy of the American public is going down. If you have a child today in 2024, your child will have a shorter lifespan than you. Quite amazing. And this is not because of the...
It's been going down consistently the last few years.
Since 1980, it's been upside down. And this is the policies of the swarm. And everyone should take 15 minutes with their kids and go to shatterthesworm.com and watch the 15-minute video. It will change your life and you will actually understand who is actually doing this and how they're ruling us. And the only way out of it is our movement, Shiva for President, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. And we give you a prescriptive way to get out of this, which is you. I'm just an exemplification of that. So truthfreedomhealth.com, people should become warrior scholars. And then people should get involved right now and go to Shiva for President. And we have amazing people. And every one of the people in our campaign, no one's paid staff, not one person, Ralph, everyone is doing it while they have full-time jobs and they come to volunteer. No other campaign can say this.
Now, I'll do it like they do in a debate. I know we only have you for like an hour and it's been about an hour. Tell people why they should vote for you. In a couple minutes here, watch that.
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, the reason people should vote for me is because I'm one of us. I'm one of you. You've never ever had one of us actually be out there fighting for you. None of these people are one of us. You compare my history, my resume with theirs, and you will see none of them match. You cannot even identify with any of these people. You're going to identify with Booby fucking Kennedy? Come on. You're going to identify with Trump?
My color may be different than white Americans, but you know what? In Massachusetts and all the white working class precincts and all the white working class county, we win because everyday people identify with me. They can't identify with these people. I'm one of us. And then you look at my accomplishments, 4 degrees at MIT, the inventor of email, the inventor of Cytosol. Every penny I have, I've made on my own. No one ever gave me anything. That's the American dream. All of these people were given big fucking silver spoons. You and I were not. I know how to solve problems. I deliver solutions. I make things happen. And that's what they don't want. I inspire people into action. And that's what this country needs. We need to inspire people to build bottoms-up movements where there's real meritocracy, not like Vivek the Snake, a brown motherfucking big pharma brown-nosed guy that they found out of nowhere to mimic me. And Booby Kennedy comes to my open houses and steals my content and reuses it. You see, they're so afraid of us, one of us. So if you finally want one of us, you have me and you have our movement and you have us. It is us versus them. Don't let anyone talk about fake unity. I'm not into fake unity. I'm into, you know, shattering the swarm. We must build a bottoms up movement. And that's what I'm about. And my entire life has been about solving problems. And you can go to vashiva.tv. You can go to shivaforpresident.com. And it's all out there since I've been 4 years old. I'm the real deal. They're not. They're all fake.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva, for taking time out of your day to speak with us here today on the Kill Stream. And tell us once again your website.
Shiva4president.com, truthfreedomhealth.com, shatterthesworm.com. Those three websites give you the opportunity to participate, you know, raise your consciousness and to change your life. So get involved. Do it for your kids. We're playing the long game. Don't get into the lesser of two evils nonsense. That's the mind fuck that they're doing to you.
Thanks. Like I said, thanks once again. And I'd love to have you back on, maybe even in a debate style format with somebody else too, if you're down.
Yeah. Bring anyone in. I'd love to debate people. These guys are afraid. They won't want to debate me. And as long as it's live.
Oh yeah. We only do it live on the Kill Stream. Yeah. I don't, it's everything I do almost 99% of everything I do is live. So yeah, no problem with that whatsoever. And thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Okay. Be well. Hey, Trey, I'm going to go into StreamYard. Okay. All right, everyone. I hope that was valuable. That was with Ethan, Ralph Ethan from Killstream. Get involved, guys. You have a huge opportunity to actually have one of us, you know, representing us. So go to shivaforpresident.com, get a bumper sticker, go to truthfreedomhealth.com. And become a warrior scholar. Before I leave, got our nice dogs here. I'm going to play for you guys an anthem video, which will inspire you.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves. Because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you. Deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game. And then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.
All right, everyone, I hope that was valuable. Be well, be the light, get involved. And by the way, every Thursday, you can come to our open house at 11 a.m. or 8 p.m. at vashiva.com/orientation. And you'll meet amazing people. If you're looking to really connect with other incredible people and really build community, go to these open houses. You'll meet great people. You won't feel you're alone. You'll feel that there is a way out of this. And the way out of this is a long game by us raising our consciousness. So get involved, get involved, get involved. Be well. And I wish you all the best. Be the light to you and your families. Thank you. We need to build a bottoms up movement. Go to shivaforpresident.com and volunteer.